Good morning. 20 minutes until the top of the hour. Now, Ron Deal is the director of Blended Family Ministries at Family Life and is the author and co-author of the books The Smart Stepfamily, The Smart Stepdad, The Smart Stepmom Dating, and The Single Parent and The Smart Stepfamily Marriage. Ron voices the Family Life Blended short feature and is one of the most widely read authors on stepfamily living in the country. And he's a regular guest here on the Early Morning Late Show. And I always love talking to Ron because Ron seems so genuine and caring and concerned. And you're the real deal, Mr. Deal.
Wow, Bill, that's quite a compliment. I appreciate that.
It's really true. Now, this morning I want to ask you about reducing cholesterol in our marriage. That had my attention right away.
Well, you know, if you go to a doctor, this happened to me a few years ago, as a matter of fact. I went to the doctor, had one of those annual checkups, you know, assuming all is well. And really, most things were well, except I had a little extra cholesterol running around my body. So, you know, you got to do something about that. And we all understand how important that is to the health of your heart. Well, you can put cholesterol into your marital heart as well. And so just thought we would talk a little bit today about how to declutter, if you will, the cholesterol in your marital heart.
All right. I've got my pen and paper out. What are some tips?
Well, okay. So here's the first question I have for you today. I'm going to interview you. How about that? We're going to turn the tables. What in the past for you and or people that you know or are close to, what kind of pet names have they had for the person that they love, their spouse or significant other?
What kind of pet names?
Yeah. Sweetheart, baby cakes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I would say all of those.
Okay, good. Do you have one right now that you've used or somebody close to you is using?
I think we have to go to break.
Okay, it's one of those.
One of those.
We can't say it on the air. Okay, yeah. Well, let me just kind of confess to you one of the ones I used for my wife when we were back in college and dating and then the early part of our marriage. I called her Pookie Bear.
Okay.
Now, I got to confess, I don't have a clue where that came from. I can't remember that far back. I just remember that was one of the little nicknames that I had for, you know, my sweetheart. And, you know, we all get that. You have a nickname that fits somebody's character, somebody's demeanor, you know, who they are to you. And so we use these names. Well, what if they earned, because of their anger, because of their temper, you know, grizzly bear was what their spouse called them, right? You know, that would be an indication that, okay, you're not pleasant to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fun. You're not safe to be around. And I'm afraid of you. So I'm going to, you know, either play dead or turn around and run. One of those two things. What we're talking about here as it relates to cholesterol in your marital heart is how do you act? What's your demeanor on a day in, day out basis with your spouse? You know, sometimes we talk about, you know, really heady concepts when it comes to marriage and relationships. But when you get down to it, who are you? What's your behavior say about you? Have you earned the nickname Pookie Bear or have you earned the nickname Grizzly Bear? I mean, like, so does your spouse feel safe around you? Do they want to be around you? Or is there some quality or temperament about you that makes you difficult to be around? That's a pretty, you know, plain concept. But if you get down to it and think about it, yeah, I make choices every single day, moment to moment, about the kind of person I am. And either I'm creating an environment where my spouse feels safe to be around me or I'm not. And so what am I doing along those lines? That's one way to reduce cholesterol.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this, Ron. When a spouse might say, well, I have to be my true self around you. I have to be able to vent my anger and all my frustration. And all of a sudden you think, well, but that's what you do every day. So they perceive themselves to be, you know, open and honest. But really what they are is just kind of angry and mean half the time.
Oh, great, great question. Basically, we can rationalize and justify how we come across and how we act. You know, I think the scripture is pretty clear. The Bible never says don't be angry. It says in your anger, don't be. And then it talks about the qualities around that. So I am called to still be in charge of my anger. When my anger gets the best of me, then I'm going to be a grizzly bear. Mm. And then if I justify it, then there's, you know, all I'm doing is just making it worse for the person I love, because now they're going, okay, not only is Ron angry and scary to be around, but he thinks he has a right to be that way, and I should just get used to it. That just made things a whole lot worse.
Mm-hmm.
No, I still got to manage my anger.
Mm-hmm. Ron, why do you think we have so much trouble just being nice to each other?
Wow, that's a deep question.
I know it is. But
I will say this. I think there's different pathways that couples find themselves at odds with one another. And there's always the specifics above the surface. Like, you know, if we were watching them on a video, we could see certain things on the outside that might give us clues. But I think it's what's on the inside that matters the most. And often it's our fears. The irony of, you know, being around a grizzly bear is that your fear is really high. Your level of threat is high. And that will drive your heart, will close your heart, maybe is the way, better way to say it, close your heart towards your spouse. And when my heart starts closing, then I begin to take on behaviors that are not helpful either, right? The grizzly bear would say, well, you know, you should see you. You know, I can never reach you. You're always going the opposite direction. You don't talk to me. You don't cooperate with me around things that matter to me. So each person has a set of fears that drive them to be the way they're acting, and that just makes things worse instead of better. It's my job. You know, you want to talk about mature lovers in marriage. They manage their own fear. That is a very
profound,
difficult concept for people.
That's profound.
It is. And you know, it really is. I manage my fear. Now, here's the crazy thing in marriage. We often expect our spouse to manage our own fear. In other words, we get angry or we get frustrated or we get defensive or whatever the case is. And what we're really saying to our spouse is, if you would change you, then I wouldn't have to be fearful of you. But it doesn't work that way. It's never worked that way.
Yeah.
You know, there's no chance on this planet that my spouse is going to be so perfect that all of a sudden my fear goes away. No, it's not their job to manage me. It's my job to manage me.
Mm. Okay, are you living with a pookie bear or a grizzly bear? You have a question for Ron Deal? Give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. And can we cross from being a pookie bear to a grizzly bear and then the other direction as well? Can we do that? And how do we improve this kind of relationship, this character in our lives? So give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. We'll take a short break and be back more with Ron Deal in just a minute. Until the top of the hour. Good morning. If you have a question on marriage for Ron Deal, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, or else you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and we'll get your question on the air to Ron. We're talking about reducing cholesterol in the heart of your marriage, trying to get some of that nastiness out, because it's an attitude, and you're either going to be loving or you're going to be antagonistic. What do you think, Ron?
Well, you know, I definitely think we can make choices about it. You know, God's word is very clear. You know, it's interesting when you look in Scripture, how many times God calls his people to not be afraid. Now, Bill, I have chew on this one a lot because I find that interesting. If your 5-year-old wakes you up at 3 a.m. because they've had a nightmare and you say, oh, it's okay, don't be afraid, does that help?
No.
You know? No, it doesn't help. I mean, I've had 3 kids, and it doesn't seem to just make the nightmare go away. You know, the goblin is still in the back of their mind, and they're still fearful. And yet, that's exactly what God says. He basically says, trust me, don't be afraid of the things of this world. And he says that over and over. Somebody counted, it's close to 150 times in Scripture. God tells his people that message because of one situation or another. I think, number one, he says it that much because he knows how fearful of people we are, right? That tells us something about us. But then the other thing is he's constantly inviting us to trust him and make different choices based on trust. I think the same thing applies in marriage. Now, it's a little more difficult because I'm not in love. My wife is wonderful, but she is not God. She is not even close to perfect, and neither am I. And that's the problem, right? I could trust a perfect God. It's harder to trust my spouse because she does make mistakes. I make mistakes. I've done things that have tainted her ability to feel safe with me, right? And so here's the thing. To move from a grizzly bear to a pookie bear means I have to look in the mirror a lot. I have to go, oh, wait a minute. I have my teeth out. I got big claws right now. I am standing up 8 feet tall, and I am very intimidating, and I've got to turn that down and change that. Otherwise, she doesn't want to be near me.
Interesting. Ron, we've got a caller, anonymous, who would like to remain anonymous from St. Paul. Welcome to the show.
Great.
Hello. Good morning. You have a question for Ron Deal.
I do. I just got on the program. I haven't really been catching everything that he's been saying, but my question is, in the case of a verbally and emotionally abusive marriage, especially in the case where it's kind of like your husband has a double life, he's kind, compassionate, charming with other people, but then at home he's kind of like another person, what is the best recourse?
Yeah, great question. And I'm glad that you asked that, because that brings up a discerning factor that we need to talk about. And that is, sometimes I can turn into a grizzly bear, and I'm working really hard not to be that. And I own it, and I confess it, and I repent, and I'm willing to look in the mirror and say, I'm changing this. Please forgive me. And there's a spirit of repentance surrounding that. In the case when someone is repetitively doing that and has no desire to change. I mean, sometimes people will say they want to change. That's part of the cycle of abuse, right? Is, yeah, I'm going to change, but then they don't change. And over and over and over and over again, they've proven that they really are not going to change. First of all, I want to say safety is paramount. There's nothing in scripture that suggests that anybody has to remain in a terribly abusive environment. Plus, when you say, look, no more, I'm not going to let you treat me that way, and you remove yourself such that you're not subjected to that situation any longer, whether that means, moving to dad's house or, a friend's house or getting up, whatever that means, whatever that looks like, what you're saying to them is, I still love you, and I'm still open to us restoring us, but there has to be a lot of change before that's ever going to happen. And you're forcing the other person to look in the mirror. At least that's the prayer, right? You're creating more heat, if you will, for them to look in the mirror and deal with themselves in a complete way. Without that, oftentimes the abuse will just continue. So, man, there's just so many little pieces to this that have to be discerned. Don't do this alone. Find a spiritual advisor, counselor, pastor, somebody who can help you walk you through all these many, many decisions. But at the end of the day, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is say, I refuse to let you treat me that way.
Great answer and a great question. Thank you so much for sharing your question. And Ron, I think that really did tap into something. There's a lot of abusive language that gets used. And it's interesting because it is something you can control because you've seen it happen or you've done it yourself. We're in the middle of an argument kind of with a loud voice and a little obnoxious, and all of a sudden the phone rings and you pick up the phone. Hello, how are you?
Yes, that shows you.
You are controlling it.
Absolutely. We have the ability to do that. And somebody who repetitively says, well, I can't change, is, just unwilling to be humble about who they are and own who they are and ask God for help with that. They're just making excuses. It's not unlike when we're training our children. Right. We kind of expect 2-year-olds to have temper tantrums. It just comes with the territory.
Yeah.
And yet I can't control a 2-year-old, but I can control me. And that's the same principle. The way I respond to a temper tantrum either gives an audience to the temper tantrum or removes the audience and says, I'm not going to be manipulated by this. And that is the very powerful moment where the child, you'll see them make choices to change their behavior. Same.
Yeah.
Type of principle is true in adult relationships and marriage.
Yeah. Ron Deal, thank you so much. Come on the program more often.
All right. We'll do it.
All right.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate you having me.
Have a great day. All right. It's 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and then wrap up the show.